Join me in a word of prayer. Our Father, we are so very grateful, Father, and so very thankful to you for this past year. Father, we thank you for the unmerited favor, Father, that you have demonstrated to us as a people, Father, that even as Tom said this morning, do not deserve just the opposite. And Father, we thank you for the people here that you've brought to this church in the last year. We thank you for the unity that we've seen here within our body, Father. We certainly do not take that unity for granted. And Father, we thank you for the individuals that you have placed in positions of leadership within the church here, and Father, the way that you have directed them and helped to give them wisdom. And Father, we thank you so much for the financial provisions that you make for this church, over and abundant, Father. But most of all, we thank you for your word. Father, your word that comes to us, Father, and we would just pray that we as a people, that we as a body here at this church, Father, would respond, that we would have an increasing pattern of faithfulness in our life, Father, and an increasing area of obedience to your word. And Father, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
I just want to make a comment about the video. I saw so many young kids, young children in the video, and it reminded me of Nancy and I had to get our picture taken for the directory. And so we went to another church. We had to do a makeup. And after we got done, the photographer said to us, "I didn't realize you were from Countryside Bible because you don't have six kids." I'm not going to talk about my six kids. I'm going to talk about God's provision. I'll talk about the finances. And as you know, our fiscal year for finances starts on October 1st and goes through September 30th. So we have several months through the year. And so I'll tell you how we're doing. This is the general fund. The general fund is the main fund out of which we pay all of our bills. And you can see the numbers, general fund income, the actuals through the end of February are $615,000. The budget for that period was $673,000. And so we're behind, it says there, by about $58,000. What we saw in December was a little bit of movement from the general fund to the building fund. What we've seen in January and February is catching up in that area. In fact, in January, we had $30,000 more than what we expected coming into the general fund. Then in February, we had an additional $4,000, more than what we expected. So that's movement in the right direction. And when we look at past years, we're on track. We're doing more than we did last year at this time. So the Lord is really blessing us in that regard. The expenses side, the actuals were $652,000. The budget for that period was $668,000. So you can see that we're underspent on our expenses. So that's also a good trend as well. And then I'm going to show you the various funds. We have four major funds. The general fund, you can see where we began the year, $166,000, and that has come down a little bit just because of the things I just told you. So that's something that we need to watch. We need to have a balance between the general fund and the building fund as we move in that direction. Designated fund, there are a number of different funds, smaller funds in that, mostly missionary funds for the Ukraine, Mexico missions, the Russian translation. So there were a number of different funds in that. Building fund, we've talked about quite a bit, and you'll hear more about that later. We had a tremendous offering in December, $250,000. So we can begin to move in that direction. So we have about $1.4 million right now in our building fund. Then the Benevolence Fund, we began the year at almost $50,000. And in addition to meeting the needs of many of you in the congregation as needs came up, we've expanded that a little bit. There was a church that we became aware of through one of our members that needed some help in Indiana due to a fire. And so we sent a check to them to help them out. And then we've been trying to look at different things that we can do in our own area in terms of benevolence. And back when we were studying in the book of James, James 1:27, that says that pure and undefiled religion is taking care of widows and orphans. And so we made a gift to Grace in Grapevine. It's a charity fund there, a charity organization, in December. And we directed that toward transitional housing. And that's a two-year program that they have that is very well run, and it takes care of primarily families that don't have homes. And so you'll see a lot of single mothers in that particular group. And when Tom and I talked to them, we were quite impressed that they have about an 85% success rate in that program. And so that's the program that we contributed to in December. We've also expanded our benevolence outreach through some of our missionaries. We've done that through Dwayne Gibson in Mexico, where we gave him a check and are allowing him to give to those that have benevolent needs in Mexico, things that he's aware of that we're not aware of. And he'll give an accounting of that to us as well, and we've done that as well through Doug Briggs. So those are some opportunities that we've been able to do because of the Lord's blessing on our finances. And just bottom line on this, the Lord has tremendously blessed this church, and we have much to be thankful for. Rocky?
We are a blessed people, aren't we? So much to be thankful for, so many opportunities, so many blessings. Why don't you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we bow before you in these moments, we come before you humbly, recognizing, God, that you have done so much for us. And so undeserved it is, and yet, God, in your grace, you've, as Tom has been teaching in the mornings, you've given us this gift of salvation. You've given to people who deserved your wrath, life. We're so grateful for that. And God, in our lives, we're exceedingly blessed to live here, to be in this country, to be in this church, to have so many opportunities. And we come before you with thankfulness for that. And Lord, we thank you for our church, and we thank you for how you've blessed our church, and we thank you for the provision of resources in our church, and we thank you for the multitudes of ministries that take place both here and then throughout this area and even throughout the world. Lord, as we come before you, we recognize that with that, there's also great responsibility. There's responsibility to each one of us individually to be good stewards, to be wise in accomplishing those things that would please you. There's responsibility to our elders and our staff also to be wise and careful and stewards of all that you've entrusted to us. And so, Lord, even now we would pray that by your grace you might guide us. And, Lord, help us to be careful, and responsible, and sensitive, and determined to accomplish those things that we know will bring you honor and glory. We do love you, God, and we thank you so much for all that you've done. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I have to tell you how excited I am about what you have seen and heard already. As I watch that video and am reminded of all the ministry that takes place here, the passage that comes to my mind is from the book of Ephesians. We're going to get there in a few months, where Paul talks about how the church is to function, that the leadership exists to equip the people to do the work of service, the work of the ministry. And what excites me is that that's exactly what's happening, that the people of this church, you, are using the gifts God has given you to make the body as a whole work, the church function together to the building up of us all, as Ephesians says. And that's a thrilling thing. This really is a celebration of how God is using you in our church and in the lives of each of us. So thank you so much for your faithful ministry. Well, it's my joy to sort of take you forward. I am also going to take you back a little bit because there are a few things I want to comment on. But we're so excited about the ministries of the church and what's going on. Of course, what excites me most, as you know, is our time of worship in the Word. And when I think of that, of course, I look back over the last year in 2007 on Sunday morning. We finished the book of James. We had a lengthy series on what is true worship, what is wrong kind of worship, what is idolatry, and then at true worship and what's involved in that. And then sometime near the summer, we began the book of Ephesians. On Sunday evenings last year, we finished the doctrine of the church, what the Bible teaches about the church, what the Bible teaches about eschatology or the doctrine of last things, rounded out our four-year study of all that the Bible teaches about the great doctrines. And it was such a rich time. We finished the year on Sunday evening with a six-week aerial view of the Old Testament, and that launched us into the new year. And as we look at this year, Sunday morning, we're going to continue, of course, in Ephesians. We will not go quite as slowly as we have gone as we get beyond these first chapter and a half. That is really the core meat of the book in terms of those really rich doctrinal sections. And we still have some, don't get me wrong, we still have some wonderful sections ahead of us, but I had to go slowly over those because there's so much there. And so we'll move forward in Ephesians this coming year. Also, at some point, I want to do a series, a brief series, an interruption to our study of Ephesians on Romans 14. I get a lot of questions about issues of conscience. The Bible is very clear about some things, but there are many things that we have to make decisions about that it's not clear on. How do we make those decisions? Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8 to 10, those two passages lay down the principles of how to make those decisions. And the problem is there's a pitfall on each side. On one side is antinomianism, where you just sort of turn loose and do whatever you want, run your liberty out to the edge into sin. On the other side is legalism, where you make those things that the Scripture doesn't speak directly to have the same weight as Scripture itself. And those are two extremes that we want to avoid, both individually and as a church. We want to have the right balance on these issues of conscience. So I hope to address that at some point on a Sunday morning, probably somewhere between two weeks and 4 weeks at some point this year. Sunday evening, I know, I heard some of you snicker about that. I told you I would do the Old Testament in 6 weeks. I did it. Now I'm going to do the New Testament. I can do it, I promise you. All right, Sunday evening, we're going to complete our aerial view of the New Testament here shortly, and then I've got a couple of ideas for what I might do after that, but I'm not going to share them with you just in case I change my mind. But at some point, after those interim sort of issues we'll look at together, I hope to begin the Gospel of Mark. You know, I just think it's so important for me individually and for our church to keep our sights fixed on Jesus Christ. And no better way to do that than to look at the beauty of His person as it's revealed in the Gospels. And so I'm looking forward to that study, and we will get there this year, Lord willing. That's my plan. Just a reminder, you saw them on the screen, so I won't belabor this, but I was especially encouraged with the quality of the folks who ministered to us over this last year in music as well as in the spoken word. And I hope you appreciate that. You saw Dan Jarms, for example. Many of you benefited from his ministry in the children's training area. And Phil Johnson, Steve Lawson, Dr. Bruce Ware, Matt Waymire, who was my privilege to disciple when I was out at Grace and now is a thriving church there in San Diego. just outside of San Diego, Don Whitney, a longtime friend of this church, and of course our own Byron Yon. That's a great list of people whom you have and I have benefited from in terms of their ministry, in addition to our own staff who have filled for the pulpit as well, and I know you have benefited greatly from their ministry. When I think of equipping, of course, a lot of that has to do with our Sola Conference series. We're really stressing the major doctrines on which our on the shoulders of which we stand and our church stands. We've already gone through Sola Scriptura with some great speakers, Solus Christus we've just come out of, and those were wonderful times, and many of you have spoken very encouragingly about them. Just to let you know where we're heading, Lord willing, next year this time we will be looking at By Faith Alone, Sola Fide, in 2009. We've already invited some folks to be with us, and we won't tell you who they are, but just know that you'll be excited if, in fact, that ends up happening. Or as I told the Awana workers a few minutes ago, you'll be excited regardless, but it'll be a great time. Sola Fide, 2009. And then, Lord willing, in 2010, By Grace Alone, Sola Gratia. And in 2011, To the Glory of God Alone, Soli Deo Gloria. Those are the great bedrock foundations on which the Protestant Reformation was built, and we stand on these things today. We just want to continue to drive them home. You can be in prayer about that as we plan ahead. So that's sort of equipping from my standpoint. There's some other things that'll follow in a little bit. I'm so grateful for the leadership God has raised up here. You saw these men and their pictures roll by the screen there as we were watching the video. But you just need to know that we have a solid group of elders whom it is my joy to serve alongside. They are men who love the Word of God, who are men of integrity, and who are also, as I like to say, they're humble men, but there's not a wimp among them. Perfectly free to share what they believe is right, what needs to be done, and that's the way it ought to be. And yet at the same time, a wonderful deference to each other, as it ought to be among Christian brothers. So it's a great joy for me to serve alongside these men here at Countryside. Also, our deacons, I'm grateful for the ongoing leadership they provide in specific areas. As you saw, we added two new deacons this year, Russ Brown and B.J. Irvin, who join the ranks of these other men who have served in some cases for many years, and we're so grateful for their continuing service and ministry in the life of our church. Our staff did experience a couple of changes this last year, as you saw, and we had one person leave our staff, Adam Bailey, our family pastor, moved to become the senior pastor of Grace Church of the Valley in Kingsburg, California. That ministry seems to be thriving well. I talked to him from time to time, saw him when I was out in California. We got together for coffee, continue to pray for him and the ministry God has given him there. But the transition meant that Jonathan Anderson stepped from his role as youth director here in our church to become our family pastor. And I was telling the Awana workers, and I'll tell you as well, I'm so grateful for Jonathan, for the leadership that he has brought already to that area of ministry. And I know those of you who work with him in the children's ministry are greatly appreciative as well for all that he brings, not just in that area, in many others, as you'll see in just a few minutes, but he's a gifted young man that God has given to our church, and I'm so grateful for him and his ministry. Also, of course, we were able to secure Justin Turner as our youth director to replace Jonathan. And again, hear wonderful things about his ministry from you who are parents, from the kids, as well as the youth leaders. So we're thankful for what God has done. We feel like we have a strong staff as well as elder board. Our staff really hasn't changed except for the addition of Justin from last year. It's a wonderful group of people, though, and I'm so grateful for their faithfulness week in and week out in all the ways you see and in many ways you don't. I'm grateful for our home fellowships ministry this past year. It sort of took a jump forward, and I'm especially grateful for Rich Dewey and his involvement with that ministry and his involvement with the new curriculum as well. The first half of 1 Corinthians, and many of you have been a part of that and benefited. The second half is to come this fall. We've had 10 groups functioning in 8 different communities, and they're thriving, as you saw in the video, and many of you experienced firsthand. If you've never taken time to be a part of one of those groups, I would encourage you to do that. It's a great way to form relationships. Some of you who are new to our church and haven't had that opportunity, that's what you need to do, is pursue the relationship and the contact in those groups. The home fellowships meet, as I said, in 8 different communities. And these are the communities. You can see we have 3 in the Southlake area because of the density here of people who attend our church. I don't mean that they're personally dense. I mean, that didn't come out right. The number of people, the density of the population is what I meant. You get the idea. And then 2 in Keller, including 1 in Spanish. And so we're grateful for those home fellowships and the continuing involvement there. Also, a part of the church that many of you never see, but so many people in our church are involved in, is the shepherding ministry. Those people, these men and their wives who regularly contact people in our church to see how you're doing, to see how they can pray with you, to see what's going on. We're just so grateful for their involvement in the life of the church. And really, that's what makes the church run. As the church grows, there's such a fear in my heart, and I know in the hearts of our elders, that people would slip through the cracks. And we don't want that to happen, and we try every way we can to do that. And these folks are the first line of defense to make sure that doesn't happen. And we're so grateful for them and their ministry. A few other things that I want to highlight for you as we look forward to this coming year. One of them has to do with our new radio ministry. The Word Unleashed is the tentative title. Looks like that's going to stick. I really like the picture of that because it portrays the Scripture as, you know, as I so often heard John, my mentor, say. He said, the Word of God is like a lion. You don't need to defend it. You just need to open the cage and let it out, and it'll take care of itself. And that's what we want to do, is sort of unleash the Scripture and let it do the work God intends for it to do. Just let it go and let it do what God intends. And so I like that title for that reason. It'll be on station KVTT, which is a strong FM station in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. It has a footprint that covers the entire Metroplex, has a potential audience of between 5 and 6 million listeners. It is the second largest Christian talk station in the DFW area. And we will be, it looks like, at the premium time on Sunday morning. You don't want 11 o'clock because a lot of folks are in church at 11 o'clock, but their heaviest listenership is from 10 to 11 on Sunday morning. And we're going to be in that 1 hour time slot as some people are in their cars on the way to church, as others are still at home getting ready for church, and have a chance to expose, and some folks who don't have a church will be able to reach all of them. And so we're just grateful for that opportunity. The program will be have elements of our church service. They wanted it to be have a church service feel. They asked if we wanted to do it live. We said, no, we really don't want to do it live because we don't want the radio to be the tail that wags the dog. We're here to worship, and this is what we're about. If people want to listen in, that's great. And so what we'll do is we'll record the various services and the various elements, and then some folks who are graciously volunteering to be a part of that will put it together, and we'll give you a little more insight into that as time goes on. But we're grateful for the ministry of some folks here in our congregation who are making that possible, both financially as well as the production work to produce the program. And they'll put it all together, write scripts, put everything together, and then it will air. We hope the start date is going to be in April. We had a little glitch in terms of what we'd hoped to do. We'd hoped to go on sooner, but we found that while the sound for the music is mixed very well for our worship center and for our participation here, it doesn't have the right sound for our radio because, of course, it's not mixed for that. For example, you don't need to mic the trumpets, just as one example, in the worship center because they, or at least not as loudly as the rest of the instruments, because they have a louder sound. And so, but on radio, of course, you want it mixed so that all those instruments can be heard. That's just one illustration of the problem. So we've added some equipment that will enable us to record the music separately and then mix it appropriately for radio, and that's going to be forthcoming shortly. And so we hope sometime in April, that's a target date, If logistically we can't make that happen, it'll be shortly thereafter. But it's coming very soon, and we're excited about that. Also, of course, Israel is coming for many folks in our congregation. 10 days, July 8 to 18, 2 travel days, 8 days in the land. About 50, it looks like, are going to be joining us from our church. We're going to have a wonderful group of Christian guides. They're licensed by the state of Israel. They attend the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, if you can imagine, and are very committed believers. We're looking forward to what they're going to share with us about the land. They're always, the guides, if you've ever been there, the guides are always extremely well-informed, very knowledgeable. Many of them have advanced degrees, but to also have those who know Christ and love Him is a great joy. Our time there will include time in Caesarea, several days up in Galilee, and then a number of days in the Jerusalem area. And so we're looking forward to that coming up. A couple of things that you saw in the video, but just to quantify, this past year, 59 people joined our church. We had 13 weddings. You ladies felt a little tired. Now you know why. And 19 births. So our children's ministry is bursting at the seams. We're doing everything we can to add to the ministry of our the folks who minister to our young ones. In terms of missions, just a couple of things. You saw on the slide that Eric Ellis is no longer supported by our church, and that's good news because he has been called as pastor to Flatirons Baptist Church, where he doesn't need our support any longer, but continue to pray for Eric and Paige. You may have seen them around the conference time. With that, and also the shift in, we were supporting an Awana missionary, we will continue to support the new one, and we're also looking at one additional missionary as well. And we'll tell you more about that as time goes on in the next few months. But I'm very excited about that possibility. Also, in terms of missions, this past year we took an offering for Constantine's church building, and our church was able to contribute more than $50,000 to the continued growth of his ministry there. By the way, we look forward to seeing Constantine at the Shepherd's Conference, and we look forward to the influence that he can be on us and we on him, and the conference on all of us in the time together there. This past year, we added a new ministry. Oh, I should back up and tell you one other thing that I did want to mention is it looks like this October, I haven't heard the final word yet from them, but it looks like in October, I'm going to be going to Italy for a pastors and leaders conference. I was there a couple of years ago. Actually, John MacArthur and I were there doing a conference together, and they've asked if I'd come back, and it looks like it's going to be in October. You know, it's such a hard place. It's such a beautiful country, but it's such a hard place to serve Christ because of the darkness of Roman Catholicism. And so there are some evangelical churches there, but for the most part, they have not had the opportunities that we have had. They've not had the opportunities for the kind of expositional preaching that we love here in the States and so many places. And so it's a great opportunity to go to challenge them. And then there's a training institute that has sprung up there to train pastors in expository preaching. So the conference is kind of a challenge, if you will, to those men to get involved in that training institute. So it looks like that's going to be happening in October on the missions front. We added a new ministry this last year that we are going to continue, and that's at the Thanksgiving season. We call it Thanksgatherings, various homes around the area. We ended up having 117 different families registered, and I believe before we were done, we had over 400 that participated from our church in that evening. I know if you were able to be there, you know it was a great time of encouragement. There were 18 different homes involved in 14 communities, and just a great ministry. One other brief note, just in terms of some facility issues that we all benefit from. If you are involved with the youth or any of the ministries that use the church vehicles, you notice and have benefited from 2 new vans instead of the old van, that the clunker that was difficult to get the door closed and other things. We're grateful to have these 2 new vans that now work very well for the ministry. Also, permanent sign down at Countryside Court to get people directed. This is something that hopefully you won't even need to hear about, but it's been put in place. It's our severe weather alert system. We live in North Texas, and as we get into the spring, we hope that it's never needed, but we certainly want to be prepared and equipped if while we're here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night, there's some weather emergency, we want to have a plan, and that has been put in place, and those involved in our children's ministries particularly will hear more about it. We even have a plan for what would happen if we were here in the service and got word that there was a tornado warning for our area. So you can just kind of rest assured that those things are being cared for and thought about. We're grateful for those who are involved in that. Moved some walls in the north and south buildings, some new paint and carpet in many of the classrooms across the campus, and then you've probably seen these very tasteful little video cameras. You can't, they don't really stand out, and yet we were able to use them at the conference, and we'll use them for other things in the future as well. So that's just a sort of running through a few things. There's so much that the Lord has done here and is doing here as we look to the future. You can continue to pray with us. I want to take now, though, a moment and introduce two men to you who are involved in one of the biggest projects for this year, and that is our new children's building. I'm going to ask Brian Chandler, who's the elder really overseeing the project, working with the building committee and with our staff, with Jeff Scarborough and the rest of the committee, as well as Jonathan Anderson to come, and they're going to give you a little update in terms of the building.
Well, the new children's building's a very exciting thing for me because I was blessed to raise my family, my children up through the facilities that were here that someone had the foresight to provide. And now we have many more children, as you saw by the video, with all the children in those videos and with the 19 births. We're kind of exploding in children now. And it's just kind of exciting to be a part of being able to provide facilities for the next wave that comes through this church. And I hope that many of you feel that way because we're going to need all of your help. Looking at how this came about is, well, first of all, the building committee. I wanted you to see the building committee. It's Mike Darden, Daryl Bennett, Jeff Scarborough, Bart McKay, Jonathan Anderson, myself. Not to exalt those men, but just so you had some other names, if you have a question or if you have a criticism, you can find any of those men, not just me. So. Where we've been, well, it was October when the elders met and saw that, you know, the children were overrunning us. Thankfully, we had a family pastor that was able to quantify that for us, and we saw we needed to change direction from building our worship center first to building this children's building. It became a priority. In December, we entered into a contract with Suncoast Architects, who was going to design a master plan to help us because this will basically finish our campus. By the time we build a new worship center and this children's building, this campus will be fully completed. And it's just exciting to see that, again, God's building this church. The elders are just trying to hang on and follow God's leading in the way that he's growing this church. In January and February, we worked with the architect on the master site plan and with the children's building. Now, if you can see this well, you have very good eyesight. It's just to help you know, though, there is a master plan, and you'll see it more. We'll have it in the foyer in the future, but you can see where the existing sanctuary is up towards the freeway. You see that? Then the new worship center is going to be down near the cul-de-sac. And the new children's building is right there to the west of that cul-de-sac. If we had a little pointer, it'd help, but we don't. Oh, there is an arrow. That's the new children's building. There you have it. And that's the worship center. Well, and I'll tell you what's been extraordinarily helpful is those that are actually going to use this building have been most involved in designing it. So it's not going to be like a spec education building. It's going to be a custom building made for our church. And really, Jonathan has worked extraordinarily hard on that. Tom pumped him up so much, I'm not going to say much more than that. But I am going to let him tell you more about this building and the way it's being designed.
You know, it's been fun over the last several months to work with our architect, to get to know him well. This is a first floor plan, and it's intentionally small. You'll notice it says draft. That means it's not done yet. It's the fourth version, I believe, so we've been going back and forth, meeting often with the architect. And so you'll just notice some things I'll point out, and again, some of the details may change, so don't worry that you can't see them because I don't want you to. But there's a little entryway, or big entryway, that goes into a classroom section over on the right-hand side over here. And there's about 12 new classrooms there that are a really nice size for preschool children for the years ahead. As our church continues to grow, the first floor would be primarily for preschool students. As we move into the building, hopefully before we're at that state as a church, some of the classrooms would be used for older kids as well. And then you'll notice on the left-hand side is the multi-purpose gymnasium there. That's a section that can be basically totally closed off from the children's building on Sunday morning for security and safety, but also has access there. There's an indoor play area and a serving kitchen off the gymnasium as well. The second floor, we're not quite to the point where I can show you anything on that. It's likely that may not be finished in this first phase, but that would be ultimately for the primary age kids, elementary kids, as the first floor would be used for preschool kids. So we're getting there. We're making good progress. As we go from here, hopefully in the coming month of March, we'll work to finalize the master site plan and the children's building design. We're getting there. We got a few more things to work through and some things to change, but we're making good progress on that. And the goal would be that by April, we would be in a position to begin the process with the city to receive our building permit. We have to take the city both a floor plan of what we would like to build, as well as the exterior elevation, what that looks like, and the surrounding part of our campus. And also at that time, when we present that to the city, we'll be in a position to have those same things to show you so that you can see all the details that you can't see tonight at that stage as to what the building would look like, how it would fit with our campus, and what the actual design would be. At that time, we'll also be ready to present not only a final design, but also a budget. We have a rough estimate that we're working within, but we don't have final cost numbers until we finish the design, and so we will get you that as soon as we know that, hopefully again in April. So you can look forward to that day in April when we can show you more details and pictures and have things for you to look at more closely. The goal would be that by summer then we would be able to receive the building permit from the city. It's at least a 90-day process with them. Give or take a little bit, depending on how much they like what we're trying to do. And then we can also, in the summer, complete our construction documents, going from just the rough floor plan to all that's needed to actually build the building, with a goal that by early fall we'd be in a position to begin construction on this building. And obviously time to construct a building varies, but hopefully by sometime mid-next year we could be in a new children's building. And so that's where we are headed. Again, it's not a project just for the elders, just for the children's workers. It's important that we're each involved in this project in a variety of ways. One is through your prayers. This is a critical time for the building program. You know, I think often, as I talk with the architect, that we really only get one shot to build this building. You know, you can move some things once you've built it, but we really want to build it to be a tool that's very useful and very much what we would need going forward. And so you pray for wisdom for myself and the other children's leaders, for the architect as we go through the final stages of this process. Pray that the Lord's will would be done. You know, there's a lot of steps to go through with the city and other things, and so we want what he would have for us as this building comes about. So be in prayer for this project. Also, we really value your perspective. It's been great to have, a core group of folks who are working as a team on this, but also then to have people in the church come and share ideas with me and with others about, hey, have you thought about it from this point of view, for special needs or for these types of things with that we deal with as parents or as children? And that's been great, because this is a building that, again, we want to get right. And so if you have thoughts, you know, things that you would love in a children's building that you just be dying for, let me know. And it may be that we can't do it, but it may be that we can and that your wisdom would be most helpful. Also want your perspective just as we go forward. You know, some churches can get in the midst of building a building and that can be all that they focus on. And while this building is important for us as we go forward and while it's vital for our children's ministry, it's not what we're about. We're not about buildings, we're about people. And we're about children and we're about ministering to them. And so it's important that we each keep that perspective, that this is a great tool for us and we will be thrilled to have this and make use of it, but we want to stay focused on God's priority of ministry in the midst of that. So you help us maintain that perspective, and then your participation as well. So blessed, as Dwight mentioned, for our December special offering of about $250,000 that we raised towards the building, giving us a current balance of about $1.4 million. And again, we don't have a final cost estimate for this building. We have a pretty good idea, but we know that we need to continue to raise more from where we are now, and so we encourage you to continue to do that. Our next special offering will be on March 23rd, so I encourage you to be considering how you might participate in that. And as was mentioned again, we don't want to take from our general fund giving to fund our building, and so you'd be considering how you might, in ways over and above your current giving level, be able to participate with us in this project. So it's an exciting time. Hope you're looking forward to all the Lord will do in this building. It's been a fun process, but it's a process we want to get right as we go through these phases, and then hopefully in the coming months, you'll really see the fruit of that labor. So it'll be an exciting year when it comes to our children's building. Why don't I pray for that project and thank the Lord for what he's already done, and then Tom will come back up. Father, thank you for the opportunity that our church has to experience growth. And thank you for the children that you have brought, both in new families coming and new babies born and all the children that are here in our church. And Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we have to impact the next generation for you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to look towards a new building, a tool that will enable us to more effectively accomplish that task. And Lord, we just pray for wisdom in the coming months as we go through this critical stage of final design and beginning the construction process according to your will. And Lord, we just pray that you would give wisdom. We pray that you would provide, through the generosity of your church, the funds to complete this project in a way that would be wise and a good steward. And Lord, we just pray that this would be a tool that we can use in powerful ways to impact the children in our church now and those that you will add in the months and years ahead. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity, for the privilege of serving you here as we seek what you would have for us in the months ahead. We commit this project to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope as you think about your own life and ministry that you remember the priorities God has. As I was sitting there listening to all this and thinking about tonight, I was reminded of the fact that we talk about wanting to bring glory to God. We talk about the reality that we want our lives to bring honor to God. How do we do that? Well, we invest in those things that God is investing his time and honor in. And that's in his word and in his son and in his church. And I would encourage you, as you think about your life, ask yourself how well you're doing in investing in God's priorities, in his word and in his son, and honoring his son and in his church. And I hope and pray that that's where your heart and where your mind will be as well. For many of you, that is so true, and we're so grateful for you and your faithful ministry here. But I hope you're encouraged as you look at all that the Lord has done, is doing, and is yet to do as we look into the future at what the Lord has in store for Countryside Bible Church. I want you to know, and I tell the elders this, I tell others this, I tell my wife this. You can ask her, it's true. I am so grateful to be your pastor and to be here at Countryside. And it's so exciting to me to see what God is doing here. No person or group of people get the credit for what God is doing. God alone gets the credit. And it's a joy to watch it and to just see the life, the energy, the service, the love that is present here. And God is doing that through you. So thank you so much. Well, there's just one more thing I want to do before we close our time together. The Bible says, honor to whom honor. And it's right that we honor those who serve faithfully. It's a joy to serve with all of the elders. And yet each year, one of our lay elders, one of the elders who's not on staff, takes on a huge additional responsibility in addition to the ministries that they have. They also take on the role of serving as the chairman of the elder board. There are many things involved with that, the least of which is not running the meetings, which is a bit like herding cats, because we all have important things that we want to say. You get a bunch of teachers together, and it's not good. And so it's a huge task, and I'm so grateful for the men who take that role. And this past year, in 2007, Tom Beswick, whom you met earlier and who read the scripture and prayed for us, provided leadership to the elder board, and I'm thankful for him. I'm not going to embarrass him or help him make a speech, but I do want him to come and give him a little gift, and let's thank him together. Tom, thanks so much. Thanks for your service. It's a card. He wanted to know if it was a car. Said, yeah, the keys are there. It's in the parking lot, so enjoy. No, it's not. It's just a little way to say thank you for his ministry over this last year. Well, it's also a joy, as we have begun this year and are working through this year, to have another of our elders serve in that role and capacity. And as we close our time together, I'm going to ask Charlie Yates to come and lead us in prayer and thank God for all that he's doing, that God is doing here. I'm so grateful for Charlie and for his leadership this year.
Well, was that a business meeting or what? Was that great? Well, I hope you all are encouraged, as I am encouraged, as all the elders are encouraged by your service. And one thing that we all know is we've made great plans for the future, but God guides our steps, and he gets all the glory and the honor for that. And I want to close tonight with this verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We won't be getting to that for another, 3 years? So it's okay. And it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do look forward to what you have in store for us this year. We pray, Father, that we would be working more and more abundantly for areas of worship where we exalt your name, where we worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, may that be our highest priority as we come and gather each Sunday, is the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, this year, may you make it abundantly clear to us, Lord, that we are a praying church, that we not only pray to you and exalt your name and give you thanks for all that you do and give you the glory in both private and corporate prayer, but we pray for one another. We lift one another up as we go through various trials and tribulations. Father, may this be a year where we learn from your word. We learn more and more about the knowledge of you and your Son, our Savior. And Father, may this inspire more personal Bible study. Not for the sake of knowledge that we would be puffed up, Father, but this would be knowledge that we would use to equip ourselves and equip the saints, Lord, for evangelism. May we be a church that evangelizes personally. May we be better equipped to evangelize in the workplace, at school, and in our own families, on short-term mission trips. Father, that you would receive the glory for that as we would be your witnesses on this earth. And Father, I pray also that as we would strive forward this year, that you would give us the ability to, and equip us, Lord, to serve you even greater, that each person would be that important part of the body of Christ, that we serve one another with joy and gladness. And Father, I pray, as we love you more than anything else, Father, that this love would spill to our fellowship, that we would love the saints more and more each day, and may 2008 be abundantly far more than we could ever ask for through your power. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.